All right. Well, church, Easter is just 2 weeks away, and it's going to be a little different this year, not meeting together, but I want to remind you, it is still the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so whether we're here or not, that doesn't change that fact. Jesus has defeated death, and he is victorious, and on Easter Sunday, we're going to have a great, great celebration. So actually, two opportunities over Easter weekend. Friday night, we're going to have a night of worship on Good Friday, always a spectacular time with our worship team, and then Sunday morning, we'll have service at 10 o'clock, and at this time, we would always, of course, be encouraging you to invite people. We always have touch cards to invite people and all of that. Well, this year it's different, but you can still invite people. So use your Facebook page, use social media, send invites, there's going to be people that will watch online on Easter Sunday that might not ever step foot in a church building. And so in the midst of all of this that's going on, there's an opportunity here for us to continue to share the gospel with people. So we're looking forward to a great Easter Sunday. Thank you for inviting us into your living room this morning. It's good to be with you. I wish there was a way to do a show of hands. Maybe you can click a like button or something like that. I would just like to know how many of you, honestly, you're wearing your pajamas right now to church. How many of you right now, you're wearing your pajamas? Yes, that's what I thought. That's fantastic. Just don't get into a habit of it when we're back together in a few weeks, right? So this has been a trial that we've been going through. It's interesting in the scripture, the Bible is full of trials, and the Bible teaches that trials are not all bad. So when you go through the Old Testament, the Old Testament saints, they all went through trials in their life. The people of Israel as a nation, they went through several trials in their lives. And then we come into the New Testament and we see the life of that early church in the book of Acts. God did a lot of wonderful, amazing things. But the book of Acts also is filled with trials that people went through. So trials are not all bad. There's a couple of really great things that happen when we go through a trial. One of them is we tend to press more into God. When we recognize, wow, I really need the Lord during this time, it causes us to draw closer to Him. And that's a good thing. Another thing that trials will do for us is they help us recognize more our need for one another. Our trials, in a way, they define us. How do we respond when the chips are down? Can I continue to trust the Lord when it's more difficult to trust? Can I continue to have peace in my life when there seems to be a lot of conflict around me? Can I continue to be generous when it's more challenging to give? And here's the one we're going to talk about today. Can we continue to be the church even though we don't have the opportunity to gather together on Sundays? Now, I've probably said to our church family 100 times, church is not a building, church is not a gathering, church is people. And in the 100 times that I've said that, you've probably amened that 100 times. This is what we say we believe, but do we really believe this? In this time of not being able to gather together, do we really believe that we can continue to be a church? You might be saying to yourself, Pastor Tim, I am so bummed out that we can't have church like we usually do. Hey, trust me, I'm the pastor. There are none of you that are more bummed out than I am. But we have a choice to make. We can choose to focus on what we can't do, or we can choose to focus on what we can do. And that's true every day. Every day that I've been getting up, rather than focusing on, well, what can't I do today, I'm trying to ask myself, well, what can you do? So as a church family, instead of focusing on what we can't do, we can't meet together on Sundays, but there's still a lot that we can do to be the church. So we're going to look at a couple of passages of scripture that pertain to what the church is really all about. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. This is an amazing description of what the church is. It says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Now, in these short three verses, Paul mentions several metaphors about what the church is. And so apparently in Bible times, it wasn't really a sin to mix your metaphors, because the Apostle Paul does it right here, right in the Bible for everyone to see. So there's three metaphors. First of all, he talks about the church being fellow citizens, that we are citizens of a kingdom that is not of this world. And remember, church, one day there will only be one kingdom, and it will be the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we are members, we are citizens of that kingdom right now. And then a second metaphor is that we are a holy temple, a holy temple. Now, in Old Testament times, of course, there was a physical temple that people went to, and this temple represented the presence of God. In New Testament times, however, the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, individually because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us, but then corporately we become the temple of God. That's an amazing thing, that when we come together, whether it's physically or in spirit as we are today, something powerful happens. The presence of God is there. And then a third metaphor that Paul mentions here in Ephesians, and this is the one we're going to focus on today, that we are God's household. We are God's household. We are God's family, a spiritual family. So when Jesus comes into our lives, he adopts us as his children. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "In love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ." So God has adopted us. He didn't just come into our lives and say, "Well, now your sins are forgiven. I'll see you someday in heaven." He doesn't do that. We are now his sons. We are his daughters. And then together, God adopts us, and he puts us into a spiritual family with other children that he has adopted. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should become the children of God." Wow, what an amazing truth, that we are sons and daughters of the King. And as sons and daughters of the King, now we are a part of God's great family. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. This is amazing. It says, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, from whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered." This is speaking of Jesus. "Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy," this is us, "are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." Jesus is not ashamed of us. And again, he says, "Here am I and the children God has given me." So we're the children of God. We're the family of God together. You were made for community. You were designed to be a part of a spiritual family. And I am so thankful today for the family of God. Now, this might seem like a strange time to be talking about this, given the fact that we can't meet together right now, but I think it's the perfect time to be talking about this, because sometimes we don't realize how precious something that we have is until it's taken away from us. In 1844, a man by the name of Thomas Haynes Bailey wrote a poem called The Isle of Beauty, and there's a very famous saying that comes out of this poem, and just one stanza out of this poem says, "What would not I give to wander where my old companions dwell? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Isle of Beauty, fare thee well." So absence makes the heart grow fonder, and this is one of the things I've been experiencing, is that in our inability to come together as a church family, I've been realizing more and more just how much the family of God really means to me. We are created by God to be in community. If you go back to the very beginning at creation, remember after God created Adam, the Lord said about Adam, "It is not good that man should be alone." It's not good. Now, we often use this verse during weddings, and it fits there, but that's not the whole picture. You know, sometimes in church we convey the message whether we mean to or not, that the ultimate goal for every Christian is to get married. Well, if that's true, then we have a deficient faith, because the leader of our faith, Jesus Christ, he himself never got married. So marriage is wonderful, but it's not our ultimate purpose. The ultimate source of life is not your spouse. The ultimate source of life is Jesus himself. To know him, to walk with him, to belong to him, to fellowship with him, to be his son, to be his daughter, and to be a member of his family. So I want to encourage you to appreciate more than ever the family of God. And in this season, instead of asking, well, what can't we do? Let's ask what we can do as a church family. What can we keep going on here as a church? Romans chapter 12 gives us a great answer to that question. Romans chapter 12, verses 9, to things we can do whether we can be together physically or not. To the church, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Now, that last one's a little difficult to do. Right now, we just have to practice virtual hospitality. But everything else on that list, we can continue to do. And I want to give us three specific things that we can do right now in this time as a church family, and we need to continue to do. First of all, we can continue to love one another. To love one another. Love, of course, it's the greatest thing of all. It's the best thing in life. Jesus said it's the greatest commandment. Love God and love people. And then love will do several things for us. It'll inspire devotion. It says be devoted to one another in love. So I want to just encourage you today, let's be devoted to one another, even though we can't be together. Be devoted to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then love will also lead us to honor one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Don't let any kind of disunity or factions come into the church family. Continue to honor one another out of love so we can continue to love one another. And I want to encourage you, just make that your prayer. Lord, fill my heart with more love for you and more love for the family of God, more love than I've ever had before. I want to be a more loving person. And then a second thing that we can and should continue to do is we can continue to encourage one another. How many of you find yourself in a position today where you could use some encouragement, right? Well, you're not alone. There are others that need encouragement right now, and they need encouragement from you. This is a great way that God can use all of us. God knew that we were going to need encouragement in our lives. And that's why he gave us his word. His word is a great source of encouragement. But another great source of encouragement is God has given us his family to encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, encourage one another daily. So apparently this is not something we just do on Sunday. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So we encourage one another, and there's some specific ways that we encourage one another. This is why it's so important. So going back to Romans 12, beginning at verse 11, we see some specific ways. It talks about zeal, that we can encourage one another to have zeal for the Lord, keeping our spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. We can encourage one another in service, that rather than withdrawing and becoming self-focused right now, we look for ways, and this can make your day, look for ways to serve one another. We encourage one another to be joyful, and we're actually going to come back to this one. We encourage one another with hope. We all need hope, and I just want to give you some hope this morning. This thing's not going to last forever. It'll be over soon, hopefully, but it will be over, and I want to encourage you with that hope that the Lord is with us. And then patience, we encourage one another with patience. How many of you young parents could use a little more patience right now with your children that are at home right now? And then encouraging us to be faithful in prayer. One of the greatest ways you can encourage people right now is just to send them a text message or a phone call and say, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. You can call people and pray with them over the phone. And so encouraging, not just saying, I'll be praying for you, but actually doing it. So to be faithful in prayer. Man, I love God's word. It is so practical, especially in times like this. What a great description of how we can continue to be the church without actually being at a church building. And then let me give you just one more thing that we can and should continue to do. We can continue to share with one another. It says there, share with the Lord's people who are in need. So I want to challenge you today to continue to share. Continue to be generous with your finances. Continue to be a faithful giver. You know, the needs of the church, they're still here. Ministries are still operating. Missionaries are still serving overseas. There are still financial needs to be met. So I want to encourage you in this season to be faithful in your giving and continue to be generous. So we can continue to love one another. We can continue to encourage one another. And we can continue to share with one another. All right, now I want us to come back to this important idea of joy. Joy. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says this about joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now I'm just guessing this morning, some of you could use an infusion of joy in your life. And I've got good news for you. God is the giver of joy. Joy is so vitally important to us. It's so important to us that the devil himself wants to steal your joy from you. Jesus said that the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have abundant life. And so where the devil wants to rob you of your joy, God wants to impart joy into your heart through his Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage us today with the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And I'm going to be praying as we conclude the service this morning. I'm going to pray for an infusion of joy into your life. This past summer, I read a book by Dr. James Friesen called Living from the Heart That Jesus Gave You. And there's an extensive section in this book about the importance of joy. And I learned so much about joy, that there's actually a physical reaction that takes place in our brain when we have joy. He writes this, having enough joy strength. Did you know that there's such a thing as joy strength? So apparently what the Bible said all those thousands of years ago about the joy of the Lord being our strength is really true. Having enough joy strength is fundamental to a person's well-being. We know that a joy center exists in the right orbital prefrontal cortex of the brain. It has executive control over the entire emotional system. Are you getting this? When the joy center has been sufficiently developed, it regulates emotions, pain control, and immunity centers. That's a good one for us right now. It guides us to act like ourselves. It releases neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin, and it is the only part of the brain that overrides the main drive centers, food and sexual impulses, terror and rage. So as if the Bible doesn't convince us, this also convinces us that we really need the joy of the Lord in our lives. Now you might be sitting at home thinking, wow, Tim, what if I don't have enough joy right now? Where does that leave me? Well, I've got good news for you. The Lord can impart more joy into your life than you've ever imagined. Dr. Friesen goes on to write, in his omnipotent wisdom, God knew there would be deficiencies. So while he created the brain with the capacity to compensate, while most of the brain stops growing at certain stages of development, the brain's joy center is the only section of the brain that never loses its capacity to grow. It is the one section of the brain that retains the ability to grow for our entire lives, which means that joy strength can always continue to develop. That's good news, church. That's good news. The joy center of your brain, God can continue to develop that and continue to grow you in that area of your life. You know, at the beginning of the year, we shared with you a passage of scripture that the Lord laid upon my heart that was going to be a guiding passage of scripture, a theme scripture for Bethel Church for this year. Little did I know how much we were going to need this. I knew the Lord was speaking to us, but as we've been walking through these last weeks, it's become more and more apparent to me that the Lord wants us to remember that He is good. That no matter what is going on around us, God is still good. God is good on your best day, and God is still good on your most difficult day. So Psalm 145 is this passage of scripture. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Of His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. And then come down to the seventh verse. Let's lock onto this morning. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Underline the word celebrate there and joyfully sing. We can celebrate and we can joyfully sing. And these are choices that we can make no matter what we're going through. A couple of days ago, Janice was FaceTiming with our grandson, Elias, and Elias said to his grandma, he said, Grandma, are you going to have a good day today? He said, I'm going to have a good day today. And then his mother, Carissa, smiled at Janice and said, Elias is learning something. He is learning that he can choose to have a good day or a bad day. And so I want to encourage you today, it's a choice we make. Yes, joy is an emotion, but apparently joy is also something that we can choose. In fact, the Bible makes it a command. It says to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. So I want to encourage you, whether your feelings are telling you to be joyful or not, I want to encourage you today to make a decision to have a joyful spirit, to rejoice in the Lord, because no matter what, God continues to be good. He is good. I'm going to invite the worship team to join me up here on the platform as we come to a conclusion of today's message. I want to close with one last passage of scripture as a great illustration of joy. And this took place during a very trying time. The walls of Jerusalem had been broken down and the city had laid in ruins for decades until a man by the name of Nehemiah was sent by God to lead the people in rebuilding the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Now, this was significant not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally, that there had been so much ruin and so much devastation, and yet God was bringing everything back together for the people. And so in spite of great obstacles, great challenges that they faced, they started rebuilding the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And then when they finished their construction project, all of them working so hard together, making great sacrifices, they all dedicated the walls of the city of Jerusalem to the Lord, and they did so with great rejoicing. And I just love what it says here. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing, because God had given them great joy, great joy. It says, the women and children also rejoiced. And watch this, the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Now, I love that, and my prayer is always when we come together, Lord, let our neighbors up on the hill here hear Bethel Church rejoicing. Now, we can't do that this morning, but nonetheless, we can rejoice with great joy. And so I want to pray, church, for you that the Lord would infuse great joy into your life. You know, joy is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So it's not all dependent on us. Yeah, there's decisions that we make, but joy is also a supernatural thing. It's a gift that God can give us. So in the times in which we're living, let's just have a different spirit, a different attitude. Let's make a choice to be joyful people, to rejoice in the Lord, because we serve a great God. So I want to pray right now the joy of the Lord over your life, the joy of the Lord of your life, over your life. Now, before I do that, I want to ask this question. Are you watching today and you don't have the joy of the Lord because your heart hasn't been surrendered to the Lord? Or you don't have peace? You know, the time that we're living right now, these things have a way of just kind of stripping all the non-essentials of life away, and it causes us to recognize what's really important. And perhaps you're at a place in your life where you've recognized that the things in life that you thought were so important really aren't that important. Jesus said this, he said, what does it profit a person if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Loses his own soul. So I want to challenge you today. How is your soul? Is your heart right with God? So if you're watching and you need to get your heart right with God, we're going to have that opportunity right now. And I'm going to invite you right where you're at to pray this prayer along with me. And I'm just going to pray a prayer of faith. And I'm going to pray that the Lord comes into your life and heart, that you will open your life to him. And I want you to know Jesus loves you so much. He came into this world and he died on a cross for you. Your life has purpose. Your life has not found in those things that you thought life was about. Your purpose and value is found in the person of Jesus Christ. So I want to pray with you right now. And right now at home, you can bow your heart with me before the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I bring you my life right now. God, I recognize that life is not about what I was thinking it was about. It's about so much more. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me, and I believe you have risen from the dead. Lord, today I ask that you would forgive my sins and that you would come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church, I want to pray the joy of the Lord over your life. Lord, I come before you right now and I pray a supernatural infusion of joy. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill our lives, that in the time that we are living right now, Lord, it's not going to rob us of the joy that we have, because joy is a gift from you that cannot be taken away by our circumstances. It cannot be taken away by our trials, and it cannot be taken away by the devil, who would seek to take advantage of the times that we're living in to bring confusion and chaos and to dishearten us. We refuse to give in to the attacks of the enemy, and today we choose joy. We recognize that the enemy is a thief, that he comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Lord, we also recognize even greater than that, that you have come that we can have abundant life. So we choose today, we choose Jesus. We choose your life. We choose your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. God bless you.